Our passage this morning is from Genesis chapter 27. We're going to be looking together at verse 1 through verse 40. So if you have your Bible with you, open it up to Genesis 27, starting in verse 1. Hear God's word. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves, and you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son, only. Obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am." "Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as of the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let the peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of his father Esau, his brother came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me even also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you and all his brothers, and I have given him for servants and with grain and wine and have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." The grass withers and the flower fades. The word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your word, and it's given to us by your Spirit. And so we need your Spirit's help. So would you, Father, by your Spirit, attend to your word this morning? Would you cause it to go forth with great power and accomplish what you desire it to accomplish among your people this morning? Oh, Father, this is a hard text to get our head around. But we pray that by your Spirit, you would grant us understanding and clarity. Father, would you forgive the sins of the preacher, which are many, but help me to make much of Christ this morning from this Old Testament text. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue our study of the book of Genesis, we find that although sometimes we're wading through a long genealogical list of hard-to-pronounce names living in hard-to-pronounce places, other times we're given an account that reads more like a soap opera or a Greek tragedy. This account of Jacob employing trickery to obtain the blessing of his father is just that. It has all the elements of a soap opera: a wealthy blind man, a scheming mother, an opportunistic indoorsy son whom his mother loves, and a rugged outdoorsman whom his father loves. If you've been here with us these last several weeks, you'll know that this is the family of Isaac and Rebecca and their two twin boys. Esau and Jacob are their two oldest boys. And they aren't just any family. They are the family through whom God's covenant with Abraham passes. Remember, God made Abraham a promise back in Genesis chapter 12. "I will give you land. I will make you a great nation." In other words, many descendants. At another time, he says, "as many as the sand on the sea and the stars in the sky. I will bless the world through your offspring." And spoiler alert, we know that that offspring through whom the world will be blessed is Jesus himself. That those promises to Abraham find their fulfillment in Jesus. Now, Abraham had two sons, Ishmael with his wife's concubine, and Isaac with his wife, Sarah. And God made it abundantly clear to Isaac that the younger son, Isaac, would be the one through whom he would make this covenant promise, through whom that covenant would flow. Now we fast forward to Isaac and Rebekah, and they have twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau is the older one by a few minutes, right? He's twins. Esau, the firstborn, and Isaac and Jacob, the secondborn. And you'll recall that Rebekah had a rough pregnancy, and she didn't go to the OBGYN to get a mammogram. She inquired of the Lord why there was so much jostling and conflict in her womb. And in Genesis 25, the Lord said, it says, the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb." If you've ever seen a woman pregnant with twins, it looks like two nations are in her womb. She says, "It feels like two nations are in my womb." "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger." These are two nations. The older will serve the younger. So God has decreed that the younger, Jacob, will rule over Esau. That was his decree back in Genesis 25 that the Lord spoke to Rebekah. And of course, Isaac knows that as well. So we have to remember that phrase, "the older will serve the younger." We have to remember that phrase from Genesis 25 and keep it at the front of our minds as we're watching this chapter play out. It's going to help us make sense of the craziness that we're seeing in this chapter. So as we consider this together, it's important that we see this as much more than simply two clever people pulling a prank on two foolish people. This account is much more complex than that. What we're going to see is that this is God's covenant promises, that God's covenant promises are going to come to pass through the family line that God has decreed, and that Isaac and Esau cannot change that, and that Jacob and Rebekah's sin cannot nullify that. Let me say that again to make sense of this. God's covenant promises are going to come through the family line as God has decreed, and Isaac and Esau cannot change that. And Jacob and Rebekah cannot nullify that with their sin. Both of them are going to try. So as we divide up the text this morning, we're going to look at the proposed ruse in verses 1 to 10. The possible wrinkle in verses 11 to 13. The dish, the dress, and the dishonesty in verses 14 to 29. And then the second dish and the brother who plays second fiddle in verses 30 to 40. I'm not always proud of my bullet points, but I am today. Let's look at the proposed ruse in verses 1 to 10. It says, "When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he said to Esau, his older son, and said to him, 'My son,' and he answered, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food, such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die.' Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to Jacob, 'I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock, bring me two young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies.'" It seems like I say it every single week, but I'll say it again. There's only one hero in the Bible, and that only hero is God himself. The Bible goes to the trouble of impugning the character of every single character in the Bible except Christ. This morning's story is such an example. Everyone does something shady that they ought not do in this passage. Isaac wants to bestow this blessing on Esau, whom we've learned from an earlier passage, it says, whom he loves more than he loves Jacob. In Genesis 25, it says, "When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So there's favoritism on the part of both parents. Additionally, Isaac knows that God has promised that the blessed one is the younger one of the two, Jacob. But nonetheless, Isaac has decided, because he likes eating wild game, he prefers Esau. So blind Isaac sends Esau out into the field to kill some wild game and grill it for him, or whatever you did. I don't know what you did back then. Then he'll receive the blessing. Isaac is defying what God has said. The younger will serve the older. So there's our first problem with Isaac's plan to give this blessing to his older son, Esau. But it isn't as though Rebekah is cooking up this plan, literally and figuratively, because she wants to see God's promise go through Jacob. No, she's doing this because she, like Isaac, is guilty of favoritism. It's made it clear. Isaac loves Esau, and Rebekah loves Jacob. Not only do we know that from what it said to us just a second ago in Genesis 25, I want you to notice how the text wants to drive that point home. When each of them are speaking here, Isaac always refers to Esau as his son. And Rebekah always refers to Jacob as her son. She'll say, "Jacob, and then your brother Esau." And then Isaac will say, "My son Esau, and then your brother Jacob." Rebekah is wrong to try and obtain the blessing for her son through deceit. She should go and talk to her husband and appeal to him. She should remind him of what God has promised. They aren't just any family. They know that they are the family of promise, so they cannot try and tinker with what God has decreed, with God's plan. Well, let's look at the possible wrinkle that Jacob sees when his mother comes to him with this scheme. Look at verse 11. "But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Remember, we learned that when they were first born. One of them comes out covered in hair, and the other one comes out looking like a baby. My brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. His mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and bring them to me. Go and bring them to me. In case you're wondering what Jacob's apprehensions are, they aren't, mother, this is blatant dishonesty. At the highest level, mother, this is lying and taking advantage of an elderly blind person. No, his worry is that this might go bad for me. Do you see that? His worry is, what if I get caught, though? What if I get caught? It might go worse than it otherwise would go. There's no worry about what's right. There's no worry about what's wrong. There's only concern for what if I get caught. And his mother's response is, I'll take the curse. Don't argue with me about this. Don't argue with me about this. Just obey me and go fetch two goats. Well, let's look at how that happens. The dish, the dress, and the dishonesty. Verse 14, so he went and took them and brought them to his mother. And his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and bread, which she had prepared, into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He answered, I am. Then he said, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So I brought it near to him and ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. I want us to notice a few things about this section. First, consider how Jacob responds when his father questions, how did you get back so quickly? You took a bow and arrow out to kill some animals, and that was like 5 minutes ago. How do you have this food ready for me? Verse 20, he answers, because the Lord God granted me success. That's blasphemy. This is taking the Lord's name in vain. He is employing God's name to serve as an accessory to his deception. Do you see that? So this is not a minor thing. He credits God with his deception. It is without a doubt blasphemy. If that's not blasphemy, then there is no blasphemy. But look at the blessing. Do you see what's remarkable about it? It's not just a general well-wishing from a father to a son. No, he's bestowing on him the covenantal blessing that God gave to Abraham. The giveaway is in verse 29. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. That phrase, cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone that blesses you, should sound familiar to you. We keep circling back to it because it's so important. God's promise to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great so you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Covenantal language. Isaac is unknowingly speaking this blessing over Jacob, which is precisely what God said would happen. God said that the younger, the older would serve the younger. And that's precisely what's coming to pass. And it's coming to pass through this trickery of Jacob and Rebekah. Well, let's look how that goes when the real Esau shows up with the real meat. Verse 30. As soon as Isaac had finished eating, he finished blessing Jacob. When Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." His father, Isaac, said to him, "Who are you?" "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it that hunted the game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me even also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I made him lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Let's be honest. This story, to our modern ears, seems a little hard to swallow. It sounds like something that would never hold up in court. Imagine somebody dressed as you showed up at your bank and withdrew all your money. You know what we would call that? Identity theft, right? This is where LifeLock is really helpful. I'm just kidding. It would be identity theft. Can't Isaac just revoke this blessing? Can't he just call both of the brothers back into the tent and say, "Hey, this is not cool. You don't do that." Can't he just bring them both in and say, "Jacob, you owe your brother a big apology. I accidentally blessed him. I blessed you when I meant to bless him." Isn't that what we would do? The problem is that this isn't just any family. This is a family of promise. And Isaac realizes that his plan to thwart God's plan has been foiled. I believe that he's been struck by God's providential hand, that God will get what God has decreed. What does he do when he realizes what has happened? He trembles violently. He is shaken with fear when he realizes that God's promise that the older will serve the younger is going to come to pass. And he was unable to thwart it. He now gives Esau a blessing that is more in keeping with what God has decreed before the twins were born. And that is more in keeping with what we see in Genesis 25, when Esau despised his birthright, which he valued a bowl of stew more than his birthright. Brothers and sisters, this is a crazy story. What in the world are we to do with it? What application is there for us in Genesis chapter 27? And how does this story point forward to Christ and the gospel? You might say, "I don't think it does." Beloved, on the cross, Christ received not blessing, but he received a curse. That's not me being clever. That's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on the tree." You see, in Christ, you and I can stand before the Father and receive a blessing because we are clothed in our elder brother's robes of righteousness. We can stand before our heavenly Father and he sees us as Christ. We are clothed in his royal robe of righteousness. The Father sees us as his beloved Son in whom he is well pleased. He clothed the sinful Adam and Eve in animal skins to cover their sins, and he clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. God the Father is able to look on you and me and see Christ. He has provided the sacrifice that his father finds pleasing. Jesus was cut off. Jesus was accursed. He did not live off of the fatness of the earth. In fact, birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. But unlike Isaac, unlike Rebekah, unlike Jacob, and unlike Esau, there is no trickery or deception involved. The elder son, Jesus, willingly gives his inheritance to us, and he receives on the cross the curses and the curses that our blasphemy, our scheming, our deception, and our rivalry deserve. As the great hymn says, "When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that this story points us forward, points our minds forward to the fact that on the cross, Jesus took the curse that we deserve, and we receive the blessing that he deserves. We thank you that we can stand before you dressed in a righteousness that is not our own, but is earned for us by your Son, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that that would humble us. We pray that that would help us to see our sin more clearly. And we pray that that would help us to love Christ more. Father, would you prepare our hearts to come to the table whereby we may celebrate that also. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.